Today we see that we are all to work out our salvation on a continual basis with fear and trembling. Folks, there are some of us who need to confess we have not had the right attitude of reverence towards the Lord. Let sin go. Attitudes that are wrong. Sin that God says is sin in His Word. Let it go.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today you ask and answer the question, how are we to live the Christian life? And I think the answer may surprise some people.
Well, Dave, you're probably right, because what we're going to learn today is not taught in many churches across America. Yet I believe what the Apostle Paul will tell us in these two short verses in Philippians has the power to revolutionize our lives, and especially thus the church. So with that in mind, let's find out what we're talking about. Turn with us to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Turn to Exodus chapter 20. And talking about this account in Exodus 20 where God spoke from the mountain, even Moses was there. In Hebrews chapter 12, 21, it says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Exodus chapter 20. Don't take things lightly, as we're going to see. Exodus 20, verse 18. And all the people perceived the thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but not God speak to us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid or fear, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the what? Fear of Him may remain with you. Why? So that you may not sin. A proper reverence and fear for the living God, it causes us to think more closely about sin, to think about those things, to see the negative value, in a sense, of sinning much more greatly. Now, within this, we see there are other places where in the New Testament we have fear coming because of sin. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in Acts chapter 5, we have the account in the beginning of the church of Ananias and Sapphira who lied, right? Ananias and Sapphira who lied, and basically within that, Ananias, after he was confronted for his lying, he fell down dead. And great fear came upon all who heard it. And the same thing with his wife, who also lied and then was stricken down in God's punishment or discipline, whatever one, we don't know. We'll find out in heaven, right? And great fear came upon the whole church. Great fear. There are consequences to sin. And when we don't fear God, we don't fear the consequences, right? Or we don't value the price paid to deliver us from those consequences. Without a proper attitude of fear and trembling, we might look at sin with a haphazard attitude. This attitude forgets the absolute hatred that God has for sin and the price that was paid for us to be delivered from sin. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, but know the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart on your bed and be still, Selah. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, God says, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Ultimately, we need to have a healthy fear of sin, but that is ingrained in a healthy fear of God. You see, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are to conduct our lives in fear. And the reason why is knowing the price that was paid to redeem us from our sin. Sin is not a small thing with God. And when we make it a small thing, we are not fearing and trembling before Him in that sense. One pastor puts it this way, the salvation spoken of here is not justification, but sanctification, victory over sin and living a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. They are to see that they are to make progress in their Christian lives. They are to do so with fear and trembling. This is not slavish terror, but a wholesome caution. This fear is self-distrust. It is tenderness of conscience. It is a vigilance against temptation. It is a fear in which inspiration opposes high-minded in the admonition, be not high-minded, but fear. It is taking heed lest we fall. It's the constant apprehension of the deceitfulness of the heart and the insidious power of inward corruption of sin. It is the caution and circumspection and timidity which shrinks back from that which would offend or dishonor God, our Savior. It is the essence of human responsibility. I'd agree with that. We are to conduct ourselves with fear. And I think we live in a culture, a church culture right now, that has basically no fear. You go to church these days and you look at the services, the healthy fear of God is gone. No wonder there's so much disobedience. When there's no fear of God, there's a lot of disobedience. When there's no fear of what this does to him, what it brought about in his son going to the cross. Folks, the church has it backwards. Pastors should be fearing the Almighty God, knowing there's a stricter judgment. They'll stand before him, giving account for every word and deed. They're solemnly charged to preach the word. And those who don't are in disobedience and make it clear they don't fear. And the same thing goes for each and every areas of our lives. It needs to be a healthy, righteous fear of the Lord. You see, the non-believer, the scripture says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. It should not be that way for us. And we're going to see the fear of God and obedience are tied together. Turn to Psalm 34. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a couple short psalms as you turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 96:9, worship the Lord in holy attire, tremble before him all the earth. Psalm 2, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 34, we have the instructions from David inspired by the Spirit. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who what? Fear him and rescues them. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? When you fear the Lord, you're not trembling and being afraid. There's a wonderful reality you start to realize and taste and understand his goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. This is to each one of you, saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. He takes care of you, right? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come you, children, listen to me, and I will teach you what? The fear of the Lord. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves lengths of days that he may see good? Here's the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. It's working out your salvation. It's obeying. The fear of the Lord and obedience to him are integrally tied. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And again, it's not being afraid of God and shaking. It's a reverence for him. And there are a couple passages in the New Testament I want to look at before we finish here that show us these words, fear and trembling, together also. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is addressing the pride of the Corinthians. They're saying, hey, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. They're raising man up when man is nothing. It is God who does the work. They were elevating people and looking to them. And they were boasting, not in the Lord, but in those things. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, I got to share with you my attitude of how I came to you. I didn't come to you as some super saint with great wisdom of words. It's not how I came. 1 Corinthians 2. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all about Jesus. And he says, I was with you in weakness and in much fear and in much trembling. Now, did Paul come and shake and while he was preaching? No, but he had a right reverence for God. And therefore, he shared the word of God so that their faith would not rest on men, but on God. Another example is 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn there, 2 Corinthians 7. It talks about the response of the Corinthians to Titus. And that response was based on a changed heart. You see, Paul had written them and convicted them, and they were made sorrowful. But they were made sorrowful, not with a worldly sorrow which leads to death, but a sorrow about sin that leads to repentance. And that was exemplified in how they received Titus, who was associated with Paul. They could have said, that's that guy with Paul, we don't want to receive him. They didn't receive him that way. They received him differently because their hearts were changed. 2 Corinthians 7:13, for this reason we are comforted, and besides our comfort, we are rejoice even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I have not been put to shame. 2 Corinthians 7:14. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so is our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. And his affection abounds all the more towards you, as he remembers, look at this, the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. You received him in a right heart. He is a representative of the Lord. He is associated with Paul, obviously. He's a brother in Christ. You received him rightly with honor and respect in the context of what God had done in your hearts, convicting you of sin, right? And bringing forth a repentance. And there's one last portion here in which we see fear and trembling. One last portion in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn to Ephesians 6. It's a right heart attitude towards the Lord and towards doing the wrong thing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with what? Fear and trembling. Wow. Non-believers, masters, treat you really bad? Yes. With an attitude of respect and reverence and care that you don't sin in the presence. Notice what he says. He says here, in the sincerity of your heart as to what? Christ. Not by way of eye service, as man pleases, but slaves of Christ. What? Doing the will of God from the heart. Fear and trembling will result in doing the right thing. If I'm coming with respect and fear for the Lord, I'm going to act that way before my earthly bosses because I'm serving the Lord, and I'm going to be careful that I don't sin and stumble him. It says, with good will render service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. How about you in your work? Do you work with fear and trembling, that right attitude towards, I don't want to sin, Lord, I don't want to blow it. I want to do my work unto you. Do you work with fear and trembling? What about your relationships? Well, today we see that we are all to work out our salvation on a continual basis with fear and trembling. And folks, there are some of us who need to confess we have not had the right attitude of reverence towards the Lord. We've let sin go. Attitudes that are wrong. Sin that God says is sin in His Word. Let it go. Not valued it and said what it really is. Lord God, I blow it. This is wrong. It is wrong for me to be angry. It is wrong for me not to forgive. It is wrong for me to worry and not trust you, Lord God. It is wrong for me to have a wrong attitude towards someone else. It is wrong, Lord God, for me not to do my work heartily unto you. It is wrong, Lord God. It is wrong for me to gain the world's wisdom for my life choices. It is wrong for me not to trust in you for everything. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's your attitude towards sin in your own life? We all sin. We all fail. What should our attitude be towards it? We should have a healthy fear of God, and we should tremble before Him in a sense. It says, David said, do not sin. And when we do, praise the Lord, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. But we need to think more. We need to raise and elevate our fear of God and the relationships we have, marriage, whatever it might be, that we don't sin against one another versus God. In our relationship here in the church, in the way we think of people, and whatever it might be, we need to raise our fear of God, and we need to allow Him to work out, as we'll see, what is in us in our actions. And notice the means and how this happens back in our passage. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out or keep on working out your salvation. That relationship you have with Jesus, you're trusting in Him and you're obeying, right? Work that out in real time, in real life. Obey the Word of God with fear and trembling. And notice we have an explanation. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, for because God is at work in us. You can't separate these two verses. You see, it is because God is at work in us that we are able to work out what He is working in, right? Human responsibility with divine enablement. For it is God who is at work in you. And there's a different word for work here. The other one we saw spoke this about doing work to its completion in a sense. Here, the term is energy. We get our word energy from that, right? It comes from ergon, to work, and then en, which intensifies it. It speaks of being at work or bringing forth power. You should be working out your salvation, letting it come out to its completion, in a sense, and let it manifest in obedience because God is at work in you. And you could literally say it this way, for God is the one working in you. If you're a true believer, God is working in you. That work began when you were convicted of your sin and you trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And He is working through His Word to change us. He is working in us, and He says, let that work out of you. Let the mindset that is changed by the Word of God, trusting in Him, relying in Him, function in the context of obedience. You know, we have a lot of passages that speak about obedience and how we can't do it apart from God working in us, right? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So as I trust the Lord and His Word works in me, I step out in faith and I obey Him in those areas that come before me in my life. I obey Him when I'm tempted to respond wrongly. I confess when I do. For God is at work in you. He is the one working in you. The living God is working in every true believer. And because He's at work, we're to work it out. Because He's at work in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're not adequate to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. He's at work in us. Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Peter chapter 1, we've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him by His precious and magnificent promises. Let that work out. Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. The word working in us, that we may grow in respect to salvation. God is working in us by His Spirit. And if you step out in obedience, He will empower you to do what He says. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul prayed concerning the things that he wanted believers to know, these things that he know what God has done. And the last one he shared out of three was this tremendous truth, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards those who believe. If you trust Him, His power is on your side. He is working. He is bringing forth energy, in a sense, power, His power in us. Ephesians chapter 3, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God is working in us, so work it out. God is at work in us, therefore work out your salvation, obey. And what a tragedy, so many Christians obey because of outward pressure rather than God's inward work. The God who loved us so much is changing our hearts. Work it out. And it's what a tragedy, so many Christians think because God at work, they'll just sit back. Not true. We're to work it out. We're to obey. We're to be doers of the word, not simply hearers who delude themselves. One pastor writes, the Christian life is not a series of ups and downs. It's rather the process of ins and outs. God works in and we work out. We have a responsibility in our sanctification to trust the Lord and rely on Him, but then step out in that and obey Him. Will you obey Him next time you're tempted to worry? Do not fear. Do not worry, right? Will you obey Him next time you're tempted to be angry? Be angry. Do not sin. Don't let the sun go down your anger. Will you obey Him when He says that where love covers a multitude of sins? Will you obey Him when we're supposed to endure under harsh treatment, 1 Peter chapter 2? Will you obey Him being ready to give an account for the hope that you have, yet with gentleness and reverence? Will you obey Him not leaning on your own understanding, getting the world's input for the way you think in your life about medical issues, whatever it might be? Will you do it? Will you work it out? Will you work out what's been worked in? Notice as we finish here that the Lord is accomplishing something. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, as I studied this, it was difficult to interpret this part and what you're saying. Why? Well, because so many people say to will speaks of our will and then to work speaks of our work, and I don't believe that's the case. He is at work in us to do his will and to bring about his work in us. That's the direction that he is at work in us. He's at working to bring forth his desire. He's working to bring forth his work. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, you could literally say the goal is to, it says, for his good pleasure, but in the Greek, it's on behalf of his good pleasure. He is willing and working in us on behalf of his good pleasure. The term good pleasure, eudokia, means that which pleases. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the kind intention. That's not a good translation. Your New King James has that which pleases. He chose us to be his children, and it's pleasing to him, to please him. The word is translated well-pleasing in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. God is at work on us on behalf of his good pleasure. It pleases God when the life of Christ is worked out in us. It pleases him. When we by faith in Jesus obey him, it pleases God. We're to try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, right? We need to learn what's true and step forward on it. God is pleased with Jesus, and when we allow Christ to change our hearts and minds, when we think like him, when we then step out in obedience like him and obey him, serving him, he is well pleased. And all that's in the context of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You trust in the Lord. True believer, God is at work in you, and you've been obedient. If you're a true believer, you have. You've trusted him. You've obeyed in areas of your life because you're a new creation. You've done it. But keep working it out. Maybe you stagnated. Confess those sins and start again working out your salvation. It's a command. Fear and trembling. Some of us have lost that sense of fear and trembling. We may be working it out, but we don't really fear the consequences of sinning against God. We don't fear what it brought about, his son going to the cross. We don't fear and tremble before him. We need to raise our view of sin, raise our understanding, and work it out with fear and trembling. So how are we to live the Christian life? Work out your salvation, just as you've always obeyed. Work it out with fear and trembling, because God's working in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. There's some of you here today who are not working out your salvation because you don't have a salvation to work out. And you can. You can trust in Christ and be saved. And for the rest of us today, the command is clear. Keep working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments remaining in today's program, help me understand what you meant when you said that we're not able to work out our own salvation.
Dave, we learn in the Word of God, here's the life you are to lead, and by the way, you can't do it on your own. It's impossible. And it's only when we submit and humble ourselves and allow Christ to do the work through us that we accomplish what Scripture commands. And the way we begin this process is by having a healthy and righteous fear of God. A fear that is based on a true understanding that he is the Almighty God, that he is powerful, that he is the creator of all things. When we start there recognizing who he is and our utter inability to live a godly life, it's only then when we trust him and obey him that he has free rein to work through us to accomplish his will.
So I ask you today, what is your view of God? Do you fear him? Are you willing to allow him to live his life through you? Are you willing to work out your life with fear and trembling? That's the first step to living the Christian life as it was meant to be lived, in obedience to his word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.